I can remember very distinctly when I was a kid, I had to go to the doctor one time to have some blood drawn, and I'm sitting there on the little exam table, and the nurse is preparing my arm. She's tied that thing around your arm. She's having you flex a ball. She's testing your veins. She's going to poke one of them. And as I sat there, I remembered something I had heard recently. I proceeded to tell the nurse and my mother, who was there in the exam room, that you know your blood is actually blue when it's inside your body. You can tell because when you look at your veins, the veins look blue, but it doesn't turn red until it's exposed to the air, whether through a cut or a scrape or the needle she was about to stick in my arm. And when it hits the air, it oxidizes and turns red. The nurse looked up at me very kindly and said, "No, that's not true." "Yes, it is," I declared. "I heard it." She smiled and said, "I don't care if you heard it or not, it's not true." I was flabbergasted. How could this medical professional have not heard this factoid floating around? Surely she was not up to date on her medical research paper reading. Because I, after all, at the age of 12, had heard it. There's an old saying, don't believe everything you hear. It's a very true saying. It's a good saying for us to remember because we as a species have a tendency to believe the most ridiculous things because we heard them somewhere. Whether you call them old wives' tales, urban myths, legend, we have absorbed these things into our collective social DNA and simply accepted them as true. We are at heart gullible, naive, and easily convinced. When we were kids, it took forms of things like this ridiculous idea that blood is blue. It's not blue. It's red. The nurse pointed out to me, by the way, it doesn't matter if it's exposed to the air, you idiot. It has oxygen in it. And I was like, that's a really good point. Wow. I'll bet she had to go to school for this stuff and everything. There were other things as well. Remember when we were a kid and we were warned very specifically, if you step on a crack, that's right. How many times did I walk the mile and a half home from school carefully and deliberately, not wanting to step on any cracks should my poor mother end up in traction? As we grow older, we weed out some of these. We accept others, right? Old wives' tales like chocolate causes acne. It doesn't. Things like cracking your knuckles will lead to arthritis. It doesn't. Things like go out with a wet head and you'll catch a cold. No, you won't. As time goes on, these false equivalencies begin to get paired with other myths. We might call them urban legends. The old story of the escaped patient with the hook for a hand who's in the woods hunting those poor teenagers that have decided to stop and kiss. How about the infamous sewer alligators in every metropolitan city? Parents, by the thousands, flushing alligators down the toilet where they grow and feed on pets and small children that drift too close to sewer drains. I can remember very specifically about 20, 25 years ago, right about the time the internet was starting to really get into popular use and we had this new technological wonder called email. Now I no longer had to hear this silly stuff from somebody I knew. It could come from anywhere. I remember very specifically, I got this email several times back then that said, "Beware! If you receive a manila envelope in the mail, and inside that envelope there is a plastic bag with a blue sponge in it, do not open that plastic bag, because that sponge has been tainted with germs of some dastardly, horrible disease. The black plague will be upon you. About the third time I received this email, I responded to the person, who, by the way, had not just emailed it to me, but to every human whose email address they had ever received. I replied to all, click, and I said, just out of curiosity, don't you think that if people were mysteriously dying from some strange disease spread by a blue sponge sent through the mail, that maybe one, just one news station would talk about that? Why do we believe these things so easily? What is it about us that makes us susceptible to these crazy ideas and spun tales? Today, there's a lot of talk of fake news. That seems to be the phrase du jour. If I don't like a news article, or I don't agree with it, or it doesn't fit my worldview, then it must be fake. Meanwhile, we spread the most insane, illogical, irrational things through social media. We repeatedly promote evidence-free conspiracy theories and falsehoods without regard of the consequence of such rhetoric. Well, this was on a friend of a friend of a friend of a friend's page, so it must be true. I heard it. While ignoring actual news and things like facts, we'll hungrily gobble up any meme or post that fits our perspective, that feeds our insecurities, that affirms our worst fears, without ever stopping to ask, really? In an information age where we literally have the entire tome of gathered wisdom and education at our fingertips, we will still believe drivel, because it's easy and it's rewarding and it's easy. For I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea and for all who have not seen me face to face, Paul writes. I want their hearts to be encouraged and united in love, so that they may have all the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm saying this so that no one may deceive you with plausible arguments. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. We have always struggled to know what is real, what is true, what is right. We have always struggled with letting our fear and our worries and our doubt rule in our hearts so that we're swayed by the simplest of false narratives. Paul struggled with it in the churches that he had helped, as other teachers and preachers would come along after him and offer counter arguments and opposing theologies to churches he had been a part of, like here in Colossians. He hears about other ideas that have been planted and spread and taken root, ideas in direct polar opposition to what he had taught them. See to it no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit. You have to be on guard. You have to be prepared for this. You have to be ready to push back against these falsities. Now, how do we do that? How do we know what is true and what is not, what is real and what is not, what is pure and what is not? We know because someone taught you. Over the past 10 years, we have formed a close partnership, close relationship with Marion Park Elementary School. We did this because we as a church believe in being a force for good in our community, but also because we believe in education. It is a founding principle of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, over 200 years ago. Thomas and Alexander Campbell, who started our denomination, believed that education was vital. That while the passion of the heart is an important part of faith, you also have to have your head involved. You have to read and study. You have to debate and discuss. That we cannot simply learn this faith on our own, but it is in the community where we test ideas, where we talk things out, where we figure out what it is God is calling us to do. We believe in education. We believe our kids in this community deserve a good education. They deserve to learn and understand and problem solve. These skills are vital to a world where cheap, easy answers that fit our lone perspective are all too abundant. The job that our teachers and our administration and our staff are doing with our kids is a foundational building block of our future. Proverbs tells us, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you cry out for insight, raise your voice for understanding. If you seek it like silver and search for it as a hidden treasure. Knowledge is this valuable. We should pursue it like a buried treasure. You don't just stumble upon, if you stumble upon buried treasure, if you're walking down the street and trip over a treasure chest, something's wrong. Right? When people have treasure and it's hidden treasure, they bury it deep. Right? There's a detailed map we have to follow with so many steps from the palm tree. You have to dig down so many feet and you have to tunnel over to this. There's always these instructions you have to follow. That's how we're supposed to seek after knowledge, as though we're trying to find that treasure chest full of gold, because that's how valuable it is. Knowledge and wisdom are that valuable. How do we find it? How do we arm ourselves to fend off the easy memes and urban myths of our day? By being taught, by learning. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught. How do I know what I know? I know because someone taught me. How do you know what you know? You know because someone taught you, a teacher, a parent, a grandparent, someone wiser than you, someone who had more knowledge than you, someone who knew more. Whether it was faith or calculus you were learning, you didn't learn it on your own. Someone taught you. Someone showed you the path and encouraged you to walk down it. I know that blood is red because someone taught me, because that nurse took the time to explain to me what a moron I was. That was important, so that as an adult, I don't say silly things like, huh, blood is blue. Somebody taught us. So now it is your job. Now it is your mission to pass knowledge on, to pass wisdom on, to pass insight on. We must prepare our children for a world where information has never been easier to accumulate nor more infiltrated with falsehoods. Technology and social media have given us unfettered access to whatever we want to hear, good or bad, true or false, right or wrong. How will they know what is real and what is not if we don't teach them? Never has the job of teacher been more important. Our teachers and staff have our children's futures in their hands. How they grow and learn, how they are able to sift through the mountain of trash to find the nugget of truth. And church, we are not off the hook either. As our gifted teachers are imparting knowledge on the next generation, it is your job to teach our children faith. How will they know if we don't? How will they know what is true and what is not? How will they know what to follow and what to reject? How will they find the Jesus of grace and mercy and hope in a world full of anger and hatred if we don't teach them? We are in this together. Our schools, our teachers are teaching reading and math and science, and we as the disciples of Christ, the students of Christ, quite literally, we go forth into the world to teach faith and grace and love. Falsehoods abound in this world. Who will stand against this tide and seek understanding? Seek insight like it is a buried treasure. Who will pass on wisdom and knowledge in a world of sound bites and half-truths? You will. You will, just as you were taught. It is that time of year. School starts tomorrow. Over at Marion Park, they're all geared up. They've been organizing and shining and polishing and getting ready. Classrooms have been decorated. Lesson plans have been prepared. It's now our privilege to join with our community, with our school staff, with our children who are preparing to return to the new school year as we bless this new year, as we bless our schools, as we bless all those who will gather there in the pursuit of knowledge and understanding. Would you please join me in a time of a blessing of the backpacks? Today we have before us backpacks to be carried to and from school by the children and youth gathered here. These backpacks represent the students who approach this new school year with apprehension and anticipation, with excitement and wonder. These backpacks will contain work to be done, work that's been returned, books to be studied, tools to complete homework, notebooks and pencils and pens, protractors and compasses, crayons, rulers, scissors, glue sticks, and other items used for schoolwork will find their way in and out of these backpacks. Some days, so much stuff will fill these backpacks, the students will find it difficult to walk. Other days, they will be light and nearly empty. But on each and every day, these backpacks represent work required of the students gathered here. And as in every aspect of our life, we bring these before God for blessings at this time. We recognize what these backpacks represent as well. They represent the beginning of the new school year, of teachers preparing classrooms and lessons, of staff cleaning and organizing, administrators gathering and instructing. It does indeed take a village to teach a child, and we recognize and lift up this village, this crowd of educators, teachers, staff, and administration, that they may be blessed and feel blessed and ready to start this wonderful thing all over again. And we also realize that this school year does not happen in a vacuum. These are our schools, our students, our teachers and staff. This is our community, and we have a role in it as well to support and help, to volunteer and inquire, to insert ourselves into the learning process in any way we can, that these students, these teachers, these schools might know that we are in this with them, loving them, supporting them, praying for them and with them, that God might bless this school year with hope and promise and opportunity, that it might be a year of peace and learning, of grand ideas and wondrous discoveries, that all who are in this might learn something today that they didn't know yesterday, that they can take that nugget of knowledge into tomorrow to make things better. Please join me in a word of prayer for our schools, for our teachers and staff, and most especially for our students. God of knowledge and wisdom, we give you thanks for schools and classrooms and for the teachers and students who fill them every day. We thank you for this new beginning, for new books and new ideas. We thank you for sharpened pencils, pointy crayons, and crisp blank pages waiting to be filled. We thank you for the gift of making mistakes and trying again, and for the joy and jubilation of figuring something out, finding the answer, learning something new. Help us to remember that asking the right question is often as important as giving the right answer. Today we give you thanks for these your children, and we ask you to bless them with curiosity, understanding, and respect. May their backpacks be assigned to them that they have everything they need to learn and grow this year in school. May they be guided by your love. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who as a child in the temple showed his longing to learn about you, and as an adult taught by story and example your great love for us. Amen.